We're holding Mishlei, the 20th chapter, Perek Chaf, and we're up to Pasuk Tet Zayin. We'll go back to Pasuk Tet Vav. We're in the middle of the 20th chapter. The Pasuk says, Yesh Zahav V'rat Pninim. You can find gold, you can find all kinds of pearls, Uchli Yikar Siftei Dat, but to find lips of knowledge, that's a really precious thing to find.
It's 20.
20th chapter, the 15th Pasuk, Pasuk Tet Vav.
15? there is gold and...
Yeah.
And many pearls.
So, sometimes a person's intellect can get him a lot of wealth and a lot of land. but it's a person's knowledge that's really going to attain to him what's worthwhile in the world to come. Lekach bigdo ki yarav zal uve'ad nochiyachav leo. So this pasuk literally means take his garment, because he became a cosigner for a stranger, and for someone who he doesn't even know, he's going to get damaged. He's going to get things taken from him. I have a tradition from my great-great-grandfather. Never cosign. If you have the money, give him the money. If you don't have the money, don't cosign. And the concept behind this pasuk is that a person who took a loan, the Torah prohibits us from taking his garment. If he can't pay the loan, the Torah says, don't walk into his house and say, okay, you can't pay me, I'm taking your cover, I'm taking your bed, I'm taking your clothing. No, the Torah says, stay out of his house. Even when we've given a loan, we have to try and help the person, even when he owes us and he isn't paying up. But what about the cosigner? A person else cosigned on the loan. So he didn't have to cosign on the loan. The lender, he didn't have a choice. He borrowed money because he needed it. He didn't have a choice. But the other guy, why did you sign? You signed, so from you I could take your cloak. From you, I don't owe you that courtesy that the Torah says you have to owe the lender. Now, very often people ask, do you mind cosigning for me? And the truth is, can you afford that loan? If you can't afford it, so why are you cosigning? The pasuk is telling us, if you cosigned, then you deserve having your garment taken. Why'd you cosign if you can't afford it? Now, the reason I have this tradition from my great-grandfather was a businessman, and he always used to say, when you cosign, you're cosigning that you're going to pay that money on your worst day. Well, you don't know on your worst day if you'll have that money. Maybe your business will be bad, and it'll always come back to haunt you when you don't have the money. So if you have the money now, don't cosign. Give them the money. But don't assume that you'll have it tomorrow. You don't know what will be tomorrow. When I went to rent an apartment, so whenever we rent an apartment, whenever we sign a contract, if the landlord wants a cosigner, I tell him, I'll give you an extra month's rent. I'll give you a month and a half extra rent. Hold on to that as security, but don't ask me for a cosigner. Because I'm not willing to cosign for anyone else. How could I ask someone else to cosign for me? My tradition is don't cosign. If I'm going to ask someone else, so then one day they might ask me. And then what am I going to say? No, I don't do that. So I always say, I'll give you more collateral. And that's what I say also, if people ask me to cosign, I say, look, I can't cosign. But maybe the guy will agree to give him a larger security. And what I can, I'll help you with that. Whatever I can help you with today, I can help you with. What I can't help you with, how could I sign on? So the pasuk tells us, and if you did cosign, you put yourself in that situation. You weren't in a situation like the lender. The lender didn't have a choice. So there the Torah says have extra compassion on him, but on a cosigner not, because if you didn't have to be in that situation, don't put yourself there. Arev la'ish lechem shaker. Bread that is false tastes good for a person. V'achav, and in the end, yimalefiu chatzatz. It fills his mouth with fine stones. It tastes badly. So again, the pasuk is a mashal. The pasuk is saying that very often there are things that, in the beginning, they're pleasant, but in the end, it's very bitter. So an example of that is a person cheats on his taxes. So he has extra money right now. He goes on vacation. He enjoys it. It tastes good. But then next year, when he sits in jail for it, doesn't taste so good. There are many things in life that, on the short term, seem pleasant, but in the long term, are not. A person eats things that are unhealthy for him. Right now he feels good. when catches up with him, when he finds himself 500 pounds overweight, then he's got a problem. When he's sitting on the dentist chair and he's getting drilled into, doesn't feel so good. So there are many things in life that they taste good in the beginning, but they're really like fool's bread. The end is that it's as though you're eating stones. Machshavot be'etza tikon. Person's thought, their thoughts get established when they take counsel with other people. And when you're going out to war, so make sure you have extra good plans. What's the idea behind all this? We're all limited to our perspective. Every one of us has his own perspective, and every one of us has his own partiality. So the Pasuk is telling us, if you really want to get down to what's good advice, speak to other people. Speak to people who aren't involved in your situation, who aren't partial the way you are. Often it can be our wives. Very often we don't want to listen to our wives. You don't understand. Well, maybe she does understand. Maybe she understands much better than you. The Pasuk says, you want to know, you want to have good thought, you want to have a thought that's established, then take counsel. And certainly if you're going to do something as major as war, something that's going to affect so many people and can easily go in many directions, make sure you have many plans. Make sure you've spoken to many smart people. Golesod holech achil. Ulfotes patav lo titarav. A person who reveals secrets, so if he purposely is just talking, he's letting his mouth run, so then we say he's like a person who speaks lashon hara. He's like a person who just slanders, he speaks badly about people. If a person doesn't take any value in the confidentiality that's between you and him, so then that's the equivalent of a person who purposely slanders. And then you have the people who just let their, out of foolishness, they let their mouth run. But it's not that they don't care. If they think they're so sick, they wouldn't tell. But they're just foolish, so they talk. And they don't realize how they're spilling the beans. And Shlomo Amar said about both of them, stay away from them. You don't get involved with people like this. One of the ways you can measure a person is by how well they keep your secret. And Shlomo Amar is telling us, if a person is willingly, purposely revealing your secrets, you should know he's as damaging as if he were a person who were speaking badly about you. And if he's just stupid and he doesn't know how to retain a secret, so you should also stay away from him. Bottom line, you gotta stay away from people who don't keep secrets. Now, I have a rule in life. If you don't want a secret known, don't tell it. My rule is always, if I told it over, so I can hope the person's not gonna tell it, but I have to assume at some point it'll get out. And I think that when we speak, that's one of the things we have to think about. We have to weigh, is it really worth the damage that's going to come if I'm quoted? Because usually we're quoted. Most people do not keep secrets well. When I say most, I would give it above 99%.
Yes.
So Shlomo HaMelech on the one hand is telling us, stay away from people who don't keep your secrets. And I, little me, feels like most people don't keep your secrets.
And the 1% that's left for the Secret Service?
You know how many people I know that work for the Secret Service? You think the Secret Service keeps their secrets so well?
I think so. Yeah.
You'd assume so. I'm not telling you who they are. But
so it's not that black and white either.
No.
Should be.
Should be. They're risking their own lives by not keeping it a good secret. But you know what? They tell their wives. So their wives, you know, once it's out, their wives tell their parents, their in-laws say, it's not supposed to work like that. But if I can probably count on two hands the number of people that I know that work in the Secret Service. And that's little me who has nothing to do with anyone. Mekalel Aviv V'imo, one who curses his father or mother, Yidach Nero Beshun Choshech. He's causing his flame to die out, and he's going to be left in a wallowing darkness. Now, this can be an allusion to many, many different concepts. It can be that the reference to his light is a reference to advice, that when a person burns his bridges, curses his parents, breaks the bond with his parents, he's going to find himself in situations where he needs their light, he needs their advice, and he won't have it. It can be understood that if a person curses his parents, and we know the Torah prohibits that, so he's going to find himself in situations where he needs the light, meaning God, to shine upon him, and God won't accept his prayer. It can mean that in the world to come, when one comes to the time when there's supposed to be light, he'll have put out his light, he'll have extinguished his light. There are many different meanings to what the pasuk means. But pshat is a person who curses his parents, he's going to find himself in the dark. He's putting out his own light. This we've discussed many, many times. If you have something that's rushed at the onset and the end, it will not bear blessing. Very often people try to rush us into a deal. You know, I have one more of that doll in the back room, someone already called for it, but I'll sell it to you. When someone tells you that, walk out of the store. The second people try to rush you into a deal, walk away from the deal. Any deal that's rushed at the onset, Chazal told us, will not see blessing at the end. So, sometimes you have to decide, you have to make a good deal. But, you know, there used to be advertisements, this is a business for people who can make good decisions fast. Meaning they're going to sell you something when you call, and they're going to tell you, you can purchase this if you decide fast. Right now I have a deal on it. Okay. Shlomo Amalek warned us, whenever you're faced with this situation, remember Shlomo Amalek's advice. A deal that's rushed at the beginning will not see blessing at the end. If someone's trying to rush you into buying a house, look, tomorrow I have other people coming, in a half hour I have other people coming. If you're interested, fine, but if not, I'm not holding on to it for you. If people try to pressure you, so you have to know that more often than not, most often, it's not good. Now, to every rule, there are exceptions. If you're shopping for an apartment here in Kiryat Moshe, so then you know that apartments go within an hour. That's true. Here in this neighborhood, for example, it's not that the seller is trying to rush you. Bottom line, apartments do go quickly. So know the market. Shlomo Amalek isn't saying a rule that has no exceptions. He's saying usually when you rush into a deal, the end won't be good. But there are exceptions.
1 hour?
Here in Kiryat Moshe, apartments stay on the market. They can be on the market less than a day. For sure. But that doesn't mean you should rush into the deal. Make sure you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I have a neighbor who rushed into the deal. He's paying about $150 more than anyone else in the building. And he has one of the highest apartments, one of the worst apartments. But he rushed into the deal. So figure, he's paying $150. It's not even $1,000. So he's paying about 20% more than any other neighbor in the building. And he has one of the worst apartments in the building. An apartment that they tried breaking into 4 times in the last 2 years. But he went into the deal quickly.
Breaking a burglary?
Yeah, burglary. It's a bad apartment. It has all kinds of problems with
but
it.
Why that apartment?
Because that apartment's an easy apartment to break into.
But it's in the top floor.
It has, I'm telling you.
No,
top floor no one sees. When you're the first floor, everyone sees you. Top floor, you go upstairs. I don't want to give you all the tips of the burglars. Al tomar, ashalem ara. A person shouldn't say, I'll pay him back for his bad he did to me. He did me that. I'll do him back one better. No, says Shlomo HaMelech. Al tomar, don't say, ashalem ara. I'll pay back bad. Kavei Lashem, hope to Hashem, v'yoshanach, and Hashem will save you. And Shlomo HaMelech is going an extra step. He isn't just telling us, don't take revenge. He's saying, don't even say you'll take revenge.
Don't say.
Don't say. Someone cheats you. You could start yelling at him, I'll get back at you. You just wait. Right. Shlomo Amach is saying, don't even say it. You hope to Hashem. Hashem takes care of things in this world. Doesn't mean a person should be a friar. Doesn't mean you have to let people take advantage of you.
Isn't it good to do with our enemies?
What?
Isn't it good to say to our enemies?
We're not talking about on a political, nationalistic level. Okay, we're talking on an individual basis. To avat Hashem even va'avin umoznei milma lo tov. God finds it despicable, disgusting, if one has stones that are unfair and weights that are deceitful. Now, this pasuk is telling us beyond the call of what we might think. A person might think, you know, last time I checked they were okay. And the pasuk is saying, wait a second, did you leave them lying around? Could it be they absorbed moisture? Could it be they changed? It's not enough that you say, well, 2 years ago when I checked they were okay. No, you have to be on top of it. You have to make sure they're still honest. A person has to be on top of the changes that naturally occur. You keep using the weights, they might wear down. So the pasuk is telling us it's our responsibility to make sure that we don't have in our possession something that became bad. It's not enough that we say, well, when I last checked it, it was good. Okay, and what is it now? We have to be on top of it. Me'ashem mitzadei gaver ve'adam mayavin darko. A person very often thinks he knows which way is the way he should go. A person sometimes rushing to a plane, a person's rushing to a meeting, but really has to know that we don't understand our way. Hashem positions our feet. There was a guy who was on the plane. The plane was about to take off, and he realized he left his tefillin at the runway. So he says to himself, what am I going to do about my tefillin? So he runs to the steward and he says, I left something on at the gate. I have to go get it. So she says, I'm sorry. We're about to leave. We're about to depart. And he says, no, you can't do this. I have to go. And she says, I'm sorry. There's no way I could let you off the plane. We've already closed the door. So he thinks, what am I supposed to do? It's my tefillin. What do I do? So he says, you know what? I'm going to start making a ruckus here. The whole plane is not going to have peace the rest of the flight. I am not going off without that item I left over there. So she says, sir, don't make a ruckus. I'm not letting you off the plane. And he says, those are my tefillin. You can't let me leave without my tefillin. So she says, look, I'll ask the pilot, but I don't see any way we're going to let you off this plane now. So he makes a fuss and he tells him, look, I'm going to make a fuss the whole flight. You have to let me go back. So they say, okay, you can go off, but we're not waiting for you. We're taking off without you. So he says, fine, you take off without me. I have to go back. I'm not leaving my tefillin. So he goes, you guys know this?
It's 9/11.
Right? Oh, you know this? He goes off the plane, he goes for his tefillin, they take off without him. That was the plane that was delayed by 15 minutes that hit the second tower. It was supposed to hit together. Because he made that ruckus, that plane got delayed in taking off 15 minutes. He missed the flight. And because the first plane hit 15 minutes earlier, that allowed a lot of people to escape. He not only saved his own life, a lot of people left the second tower. When they saw the first tower was hit, no one knew what was going to happen, so a lot of people ran away. The fact that that plane was delayed 15 minutes saved thousands of people's lives. So a person can sometimes say, well, I missed the flight, it's terrible. You don't know if it's terrible. Where Hashem positions our footsteps. What do we know what's good and what's bad? We don't know. We have to do our best. We have to try to evaluate what we see. But when we miss the flight, so we have to recognize that we don't know if that was good or that was bad. We don't know. The idea is we're allowed to have hopes. But we have to recognize that we don't know which hopes are good for us. And therefore, we don't have to take things too harshly. There's a saying in Yiddish, Mensch trocht und Gott locht. Man toils and God laughs. We don't know. We do our best, but we don't know.
Mensch.